The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
Don't be a beggar, be a believer. If you're to be restored, if you're to fulfill your destiny, it's not up to God, it's up to you. Do like this young man and say, I may be down, but I'm not staying down. I may have made mistakes. It's my fault, but I know the secret. I will arise and go to my Father.
That is Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States, best-selling author and author of his latest bestseller, Every Day of Friday, his telling of the story of the prodigal son. It's about not being a beggar, but being a believer. Now, that's an interesting take on that familiar parable. We'll see whether there's any gospel in Joel Osteen's interpretation of the prodigal son as we continue our three-part review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 21st of November. You can join us for the next hour with questions or comments on Joel Osteen and his latest book, Every Day of Friday, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can always visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. I think we should do this every Monday, just sit and talk about Joel Osteen.
Did you ever think, I mean, the books are very simple, they're very repetitive, as you mentioned before, when we talked in part one. Did you ever think it would take us three sessions to get through this?
No, I thought half an hour would be good to clear it out. But, you know, you just keep uncovering, more. I went to clean the garage the other day, and I thought, I'll be out there for a few minutes. It's going to take me years to clean that garage. I had no idea how messy it was, and that's how it is reading this book.
So his telling of the prodigal son, kind of where we left off last time, is there any gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, forgiveness with the cost of Christ's blood, in Joel Osteen's telling of this familiar parable?
I'll give you the closest thing to the gospel in the whole book, and it's just two pages before that quotation that you played. I'll read you this paragraph because we don't have it on the audio tracks, but we'll see how close he can get to the gospel, and then we'll come to the prodigal son and see what he's getting at. By not dwelling on these lies that the devil is bringing against you, that you're condemned, by not dwelling on these lies, you silence the voice of the accuser. The Scripture says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is that the price for your mistakes was paid 2,000 years ago on the cross at Calvary. You don't have to pay again. Now, that's as close as Joel gets to giving the gospel. And, in fact, I have in the margin of that paragraph, gospel. Because when I read it the first time, I thought that Joel actually got it. But the more I start to understand what he's saying in the book, I realize that there's no gospel there at all. Now, listen, I'll read you the sentence again. The truth is that the price for your mistakes was paid 2,000 years ago. You know the word that undoes the gospel in there is that word mistakes, because Joel just can't bring himself to say sins. He cannot say what the Bible says about man, that we are sinners. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we make God into a liar. This is what the Bible says, that man is a sinner. But no, not in Joel's anthropology. Man makes mistakes, and Jesus is dying for our mistakes, for our accidents, for our bad choices, not for our sin. So when you get back to his explanation of the prodigal son, he says, look, the guy was able to save himself. He made a statement that changed his future. He said, I'm not going to be down in the dumps. I'm not going to live this mediocre life selling eaten pig food. I'm going to go back to my father. And it's that decision to go back to the father that saves the guy. The power to save himself, the power to be saved was in himself, not in God. So that Joel can say these words which should never cross the lips of a Christian, especially not a Christian teacher. He says, if you're to be restored, if you're to fulfill your destiny, it's not up to God, it's up to you. That's blasphemy. Jesus is the one who came to save sinners. He does not. You do not save yourself. You do not rescue yourself. It's God who rescues you. And to take that privilege of being the Savior from Jesus and give it to yourself is utterly terrible. That's why he says, don't be a beggar, be a believer. That's absolutely wretched. Remember how Luther, when he died, he had that scrap of paper? That's how you sign your newsletter articles there, Todd. How do you say it in German? We're all beggars. This is true.
We are all beggars.
So Luther, he has this great understanding of our human condition as beggars before God. Joel says, don't be a beggar, be a believer. We're beggars in the eyes of God because we have no spiritual merit. We have no riches to give. We have nothing to commend ourselves to God at all. That's why salvation comes as a gift by grace. So there's no gospel there. To answer your question, there's no gospel there.
Several years ago, we interviewed Robert Schuller. I don't know if there's a direct connection, but there's definitely affinity between the direction of these two men. But Robert Schuller didn't want to talk about sin either. I had a very point-blank conversation with him about it. And he even chided me, scolded me a little bit for even mentioning it. He says, no, I mean, if you talk about that, you're going to turn people off. He wanted to talk about shame rather than sin. And it sounds like Joel has a substitute for sin, too. What is his substitute in this book for the biblical concept of sin?
Yeah, mistakes, bad decisions, guilt. He'll talk about shame a little bit too, but you know, you feel guilty for something you've done. Well, it's not that you've actually the problem there is not that you've done something wrong, but that you feel guilty about it, you see. So it's a sleight of hand move. So Jesus is dying for your mistakes. Well, I mean, why do I make mistakes? I mean, in Joel's mind, the reason why you make mistakes is because you're not living in faith. You don't have you're not expecting good things, so good things don't come. It's just absolutely terrible. But the reason why they get mad when you talk about sin is because there's this kind of goofy word faith idea that when you can speak reality, you know. So if you start saying sin, then what you're doing is you're inviting sin to come along. If you have negative thoughts, I hate to admit this to you, Todd, but I was watching Joel preach last night on the TV, getting ready, and he says this: if you have a negative thought about yourself, I'm not attractive, then you open the door for ugly to come and find you. See, so if you start talking about how you're a sinner, then sin comes and finds you. So you should say, no, I'm blessed, I am well able, I am prosperous, I'm tall, I'm handsome, I'm funny, or whatever it is, and now you invite funny and handsome to come and find you.
Well, here's Joel, picking up on a theme we heard before about how it's not up to God, it's up to you, talking about how God waits for us to make the first move.
God will do the same thing for you when you make that decision to shake off the guilt, shake off the condemnation, and say, I'm moving forward with my life. When you make a move, God will make a move. He'll come running towards you with mercy, forgiveness, restoration, favor, increase. God can still get you to where you're supposed to be.
All right. How does it work then?
Well, yeah, you see here, it's so clear who's acting first. John tells us, the Apostle John tells us, that this is love, not that we love God, but that God first loved us. The whole of the gospel testifies to the fact that Jesus comes to us while we are still in our sin, while we are still his enemies. Paul says that, he uses that same language, while we are yet his enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. Not in Joel's scheme. In Joel, it's us. We make the move, then God will make a move. Everything that God does is conditioned upon our first doing, our first believing, our first in bringing this positive faith to bear, and that releases God's power. So it's the exact opposite in the Bible. This is what Luther calls in the First Commandment an apple god, the worst of all idols, the god who needs us to act first. A god who needs anything from us is an idol. God has no needs at all that we can meet. We have this. Did we talk about this psalm last time, Psalm 50, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to me, God says. And then he says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. So even if God did need something, it's not for us to worry about. He'll take care of himself. God does not need us to act first or to invite or to decide or to be in faith. God comes and does. In fact, what he comes and does is he comes and dies, and he forgives our sins. But again, with Joel here, we have God. We have a God in waiting. And we act first, and then he responds to us.
And then we become, if you will, the cause of all those things that he mentioned. God, mercy, forgiveness. He had all the words piled up right. But the way he put it together, it is our decision, our action, that becomes the cause of all those things in God. About a minute here.
Yeah, that slips through, you know, because American Christianity is sold under this revivalism, which says that you've got to make a decision for Christ. In fact, I put this little article on Joel Osteen up on the Worldwide Wolfmuller, and I had a couple people responding. They say, sure, Joel believes Jesus saves you, but you have to ask him. You have to invite him. You have to. This is, you know, kind of standard American revivalism. God's knocking at the door, but you gotta unlock it. You gotta open the door and let him come in. And Joel just takes that to the extreme, to the utter extreme. You got the power to change things. You have this creative ability inside of you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, part two of a three-part review we're doing with him on Joel Osteen's latest bestseller, Every Day of Friday.
Never been a sinner, I never sinned, I got a friend in Jesus.
Hey, St. Louis listeners, our local affiliate, AM 1320 Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year, but you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at issuesetc.org. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Listen to what you want, when you want, Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon. We started last Monday. We're continuing today. Following Monday, we'll conclude our review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day Friday. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Pastor Wolfmiller,
I understand that you are trying to put together a tour to follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. Tell us about it.
Yeah, October 31st is our departure date from Denver. Warren Graff, who you've had Pastor Graff as a guest on the show, haven't you?
Yes.
He and I are going to take a trip over. We fly into Istanbul and spend about 6 days bussing around Turkey. So we'll see Ephesus and Smyrna and Troy and Istanbul and all these places. And we jump on a cruise for 3 days and see Patmos, where John had the revelation. And we go to Rhodes and Crete and Santorini, so a four-day Greek Isle cruise. And then we spend a day, we land in Athens and spend a day in Corinth and get to see all the ruins there. And then another day in Athens. Before we fly home is a 12-day trip, and this is getting close now. It's less than a year away, and I'm starting to get pretty excited. We have we're probably about half full for the trip, so departure from Denver is just under $3,000, and it's airfare and everything's included for that. So there's room for if more people want to jump on, if people would enjoy going over and following the steps of St. Paul, and we'll have a bunch about the Apostle John as well, because we'll see a bunch of John's. Places, then that would be this would be a fantastic trip. So they can contact me, and I can get some more information to them.
All right, we'll have a way for you to contact Pastor Brian Wolfmiller at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Well, let's get back to Joel. One of the things that he has his listeners do is listen for that still small voice within.
Moses wanted his voice to be heard. You don't need your friend to speak for you. You don't need your neighbor to drive for you. You don't need anyone to tell you what to do. You are equipped. God wouldn't have presented you with opportunities if He had not already given you everything you need. You are anointed. You are empowered. You are well able. Don't let anyone play up to your supposed weaknesses. Yes, there may be times when you need help, and that's fine. But don't let someone do for you what you can do for yourself. Don't become too dependent on others. Don't use crutches when you're able to walk on your own. God would have never told Moses to go speak in front of Pharaoh unless he knew Moses could do it. You may have some limitations, but you don't need a crutch. You have been equipped with everything you need to fulfill your destiny. You can make your own decisions. God has given you wisdom to run your own life. You don't need someone constantly telling you what to do and what not to do. Of course, it's good to hear other people's opinions. It's good to listen to advice. But understand, you can also hear from God. You can hear that still small voice from the Holy Spirit. You have a direct line to the throne of God. If somebody is always trying to tell you what to do, just say thanks, but no thanks. God and I, we're on speaking terms.
Now, that last part there, I want to get into the Moses stuff in a minute, but that last part there probably doesn't raise any red flags with a lot of Christians when they hear it. Should it?
Oh, man, it should. This is but you're right. This is a regular thing in our Christian piety today because we're so saturated with mysticism. We have this stuff called listening prayer, where prayer is two-way conversation. We speak and then God speaks back. No, that's by the way what the Bible is for. If you want to know if God's talking, then go read the Bible. That's His word. But no, we don't like that. We want to hear direct, personally from God, individual sort of things. So we have this. We have this listening prayer, and it's never in, whenever God speaks on the inside, it's never in words, it's always in impressions. I mean, even down the page, He says that God speaks to us through impressions. This is a terrible way to have God speaking to you. I got all these, back in my kind of light charismatic days, I've got all these stories from all these impressions that I got from God. The worst one was I think I've told you this story. It's so embarrassing. When I had this impression that the rapture was about to happen, and I went into the backyard and jumped into the air. Oh, man. Did
no.
I tell you that before, Todd?
No.
It is terrible.
Probably should keep that one to yourself.
I know it. Oh, I was going to get a head start on the rapture. I think when I hit the ground, I became a Lutheran because I said, how do I know if God's talking to me or not? If these impressions are so uncertain, well, maybe I should go and read the Word to see what God says to me. But this is part and parcel of Joel Osteen's thing. I mean, he's got to be a mystic because he has such a high view of humanity. You got you know, divine nature bouncing around on the inside. So it makes sense that that's where you listen to hear from God. You listen to the inside. But we Christians should know this should be just absolutely clear. God never, ever, ever tells us to listen for his voice on the inside. He never tells us that. Whenever someone speaks directly to God, it's God speaking on the outside and using words. And it's never sought after. It's always a surprise. It's never something that's prepared for. It's always God breaking in and saying something in the Bible constantly, all the way through. So when we want to hear God's voice, we don't try to quiet ourselves and listen for that voice in our hearts, listen for those impressions in our spirit. No, we go and read the Bible and say, here, even if I don't like it, this is what God's telling me.
I'm looking at the notes that you made here when he's talking about Moses. His telling of the Moses story is really different than the one I read in the Bible. I mean, he's got Moses walking around with his chest puffed out all the time, fulfilling his destiny and getting everything done on his own, kind of John Wayne Moses. You have labeled this section Willpower Plus. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's right. So here's Joel's thing. He says, God wouldn't have presented you with the opportunities if he had not already given you everything you need. So opportunity assumes ability. That's the teaching here. Now, this happens over and over in the church. The most famous for us, perhaps, to consider was with Luther and Erasmus. Erasmus comes along and makes the same exact claim that Joel Osteen makes here, and it sounds like this. God wouldn't have commanded it if you couldn't do it. So the command implies the ability to keep the command. Otherwise, God is just a meanie pants. You know, he says, honor your father and your mother, but you can't honor your father and mother, and then he punishes you for that? Well, that's just not fair. That's Erasmus's logic. It's Joel Osteen's logic. So if you see an opportunity there, then it means that you have opportunity and ability to meet that opportunity and even excel in that opportunity. That's the assumption. The problem is, that's not what the Bible says about the law, about opportunity, etc. I mean, the law shows us our sin. It brings to us God's wrath. It makes manifest our inherent weakness, and more than that, our complete inability to do the things that God desires for us to do. That's the chief reason that God gives us the law, so that Joel has it like Erasmus and like everyone else who would kind of assert the freedom of man's will, has it exactly backwards. God wants us to trust in him, to have faith in him, and that means that we don't have faith in ourselves. We don't have faith in our own ability. We don't have faith in our own capacity to make things happen.
Joe is waiting on the line in St. Louis. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. A couple things. One, does the mysticism you are discussing preclude any Gnostic element in this? Because I'm listening and I'm hearing kind of you got to acquire more knowledge. You've got to learn more and more and more in order to attain a level of success almost. And two, is it too much to say that this goes all the way back to the garden and Satan's temptation that you shall be as gods or like God, where you're going to know good and evil and have a type of knowledge that will allow you to do it all yourself? Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Brian.
Yeah, Joe's got it. You should interview him for the rest of the show. He's just nailed it exactly. I mean, mysticism is Gnosticism, which is enthusiasm. Okay, so let's just define some terms there, and maybe it'll help out. So mysticism is the religious movement that wants to put man in motion towards an immediate or unmediated direct internal connection to the divine nature. So Joel is certainly a mystic. You got to listen to the divine voice inside of you. You have seeds of greatness on the inside. All of this sort of stuff is mysticism. Gnosticism is the same thing in this sense, is that Gnosticism says that there's a knowledge of the universe that's had apart from the mind. So you have an experiential knowledge. So you have an experience that tells you this. That's why they have the secret knowledge, and you have to go towards it. So Gnosticism is driving you away from earthly things towards the higher being of reality. We have enthusiasm, which is the third, which is the same sort of thing, which says that we can hear from God apart from his word. And all of those things, enthusiasm or Gnosticism or mysticism, is precisely what the devil was doing with Adam and Eve. He said, you can be like God. He caused them to doubt the external word of God and to listen to that on them on the inside. And then he said that God was a liar and that they would know better by their own experience. So that's precisely what's happening in the garden with Adam and Eve, and precisely what's happening when a person reads Joel Osteen.
We've got about another half hour with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on this Monday afternoon. Part two of a three-part review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday. I invite your questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. When we come back, we're going to talk about it's not just a voice within for Joel Osteen. And we've heard these words repeated again and again. You have the seeds of greatness on the inside. Joel operates with an idea that you have a power. It's untapped in most of us, but he can teach you how to tap it. A power within to change things, to change reality. You just got to realize it and use it. We'll hear from Joel and then from Pastor Wolfmiller in response after this.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
How to get those who are pro-abortion to become pro-life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
It is not an easy task to convert people to the pro-life position. However, Ray Comfort has made it look pretty easy in a film he produced. The film is simply called 180. The title refers to people changing their view on abortion 180 degrees and doing so quickly. Comfort's 33-minute documentary consists of on-the-street interviews done with young men and women. They are asked pointed ethical questions regarding the Holocaust and other events. Right before your eyes, you see people coming to embrace the pro-life position. Check it out for yourself at 180movie.com.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
We're talking about Joel Osteen's latest bestseller, Every Day of Friday, part two of a three-part review with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you appreciate Issues Etc., a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. No gift is too small, and for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas sermon and a sermon that I preached on the baptism of Jesus. Now, we're also looking for three major year-end gifts, and they are major gifts. A $12,000 donation to pay for all of our internet and phone costs for a year. That's a lot of money. That's what it costs us. A $5,000 donation for our yearly rent of these offices and studio, and a $2,000 year-end contribution earmarked for all of our utilities for an entire fiscal year. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible contribution at our website, issuesetc.org. Thank you, as usual, for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of this year. Let's go back to Joel. Here he is talking not only about the voice on the inside, Brian, but the power on the inside.
Look inside and tap into the power God put in you. Like Moses, you will rise up with a new confidence. Yes, it may stretch you, but you will discover new gifts and talents. God will bring the right people at the right time. And I believe and declare you will become everything He's created you to be.
Okay, what do you make of the advice, look inside?
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I read back in high school this book, The Heart of Darkness? Everyone reads that, I think, in high school or college or something. And this guy's going in Africa, and he goes up the river deep into the heart of Africa, and he sees all the, and you just hear this cry as he reaches the horror. He's going to find riches and fame and wealth, and he just finds depravity. This is how it is. The deeper we look into our own hearts, I think in a lot of ways God has hidden from us the depth of our own sinfulness. I mean, we know that we're sinners, but the as bad as we are is hidden from us because we couldn't stand it. I mean, just like a person couldn't look on the face of God and live, I don't think you could live if you could look on your own horror. I mean, it just undo you. But that's what happens. The more we look inside, the more we see that we're sinners, that we stand condemned by God's law. And the brighter the light of the Lord's law shines, then the more of the horror of our own sin that we see. So now Joel says, "Go and look in the inside," and it's a frightful sort of thing. I think I must have been visiting my parents, and my mom has one of those mirrors that magnifies things and has the bright light on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I didn't realize what it was, and I went to look in the mirror, and all of a sudden my nose is like seven times as big as it is in reality, or maybe just twice as big. I'm not sure, but the closer up you get, the more frightful it is. What is that? But when we take a realistic look at ourselves, that's what we get. So the advice to look inside of yourselves, to look inside of yourself, is simply terrible advice. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, says the writer of Hebrews chapter 12, the author and perfecter of our faith. Faith, in fact, is taking our eyes off of ourselves and looking at Christ, who does everything for us, who dies for us, rises for us, calls us forgiven, has us as his own dear children, etc. Faith does not look to itself. It looks to Christ. But see, Joel has to have you looking to yourself because he's got this idea of the seeds of greatness on the inside. You not only have free will, you have powerful will, so you got to tap into that power. You might be a weak vessel, but on the inside is God's goodness and God's power and God's strength and God's favor and God's you got to tap into that power. And then Joel does, at the end of that quotation that we heard there, he does this thing where and this is probably where he starts doing it in the book, he starts declaring things. I believe and declare you will become everything he's created you to be. So that Joel has this idea that you tap into God's power by speaking and declaring reality, and that your own speaking can change reality. We know God's word does that. Our words are descriptive. It's God's words that are creative. But Joel has this idea that man's word itself is creative.
This is, I mean, I have reviewed all of his bestsellers, and this is the first one where he consistently, without naming it as word faith, he consistently encourages this classic word faith notion of confess it and it will be created, or name it and claim it. He doesn't use those terms, but he encourages his readers to do this. In a lot of ways, in his previous books, all that was in the background. You had to know it was there to see it. But in this one, it's right out on the surface, Brian.
Yeah, and he keeps it out. You know, in the first half of the book, every chapter ends with an if. If you wear a smile, you will get God's favor. If you're kind to others, God will be kind to you. If you laugh, God will make you healthy. cure your cancer and all this stuff. But the second half of the book, it changes, and in the end of each chapter, you start to get these declarations. I declare that you will get increase. I declare, I believe that in God's name you will have promotion. I declare the bonds of addiction are broken. And so, yeah, it gets worse and worse towards the end of the book. There's kind of a lull in that in the last three-fourths of the book, but then in the last few chapters, he really launches back into it and puts it out there. I mean, and it's what he believes, you know, that you have the power to create things. It's another form of his own blasphemy. It all comes back to the idea that we are God. I mean, we are creative. We have the ability to create things with our word. Well, that's an attribute of God. But now he says, no, you have that ability. God is the one who saves us. But Joel says, no, you got to save yourself. It's kind of just different sides of the same coin.
Here's another excerpt from Joel Osteen's book, Every Day of Friday. He says that we should forgive for our own sakes.
We all have unfair things happen to us. We can choose to cling to that hurt and let it destroy our day-to-day happiness and poison our futures. Or we can choose to release the hurt and trust God to make it up to us. You may think you can't forgive those who hurt you, whether friends, a spouse, or co-workers. But you don't have to forgive for their sake. You forgive for your own sake.
What does that mean?
I hear this all the time, not just from Joel. This is a really popular idea, that forgiveness is good for us. I think it's really terrible. It is really terrible. I mean, it's like saying that, you know, Jesus on the cross, well, there he was winning for us forgiveness, but it was really for his sake, not for us. What? That's just not true. And when you forgive your neighbor, it's not for you, it's for your neighbor. It's loving your neighbor. I mean, what Joel means here is that, when you let someone sin against you and you're all burnt up about it and you get bitter and it eats away on the inside and robs you of sleep and it's bad to be angry. Well, true, it's bad to be angry. You shouldn't be angry. And if forgiving someone is a way of beginning to get over the anger that you have towards them, well, then that's, I mean, fair enough. But the reason why you forgive someone is for their sake. It's not... if a good work is serving yourself, it's not a good work. And forgiving your neighbor is just about the greatest good work that we are able to do in this life. This is why forgiveness hurts. This is why I forgive you are some of the most difficult words to speak. I mean, you know how it is with children. And someone slaps someone on the head with a banana in their ear or something. And now you say, all right, go and apologize to your brother. And he goes over and says, I'm sorry for sticking a banana in your ear. And the person who with the banana in the ear says, oh, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Why not say, I forgive you? Because if you say, I forgive you, you're actually admitting something. You're admitting that hurt you. So you say, no, don't worry about it. No big deal. It's fine. I like the banana in my ear or whatever, you know, because it's hard to forgive. To forgive is to be weak and to be injured. That's why, I mean, it's no surprise that for God to forgive us, he has to be clothed in the weakness of our humanity, and he has to be shamed in nakedness and mockery on the cross, because to forgive hurts. So I don't know. I think it's really a quite terrible and selfish and good work destroying, a faith assaulting thing to say that we forgive for ourselves and not for the other person.
Mike listens in Kansas City. Thanks for waiting, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a great resource. And I had two comments. First, you know, last week someone had mentioned about Oprah Winfrey and the Secret. This, just a few days ago, actually it was about 2 weeks ago, Oprah Winfrey appeared at Joel Osteen's church. And he recognized her from the pulpit, or whatever he calls it, and honored her for what God has been doing in her life. I heard those words myself. And then later, Oprah Winfrey went to have lunch at Joel Osteen's house, and they're evidently going to be working on something for the OWN network together. And the other comment that I had was, isn't this really like the mysticism of decision theology? Isn't it just a natural extension of that? I mean, think about decision theology. You basically make a righteous declaration, and then you raise your own dead bones to life, if I can quote Ezekiel.
Well, that's interesting. Two very good questions, and we'll get an answer to both of them. Thanks for listening, Kansas City, Mike, right after the break. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, part two of a three-part review that we're doing on Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and he co-hosts a weekly radio program called Table Talk Radio. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
How do many leaders of pop American Christianity misinterpret the Great Commission? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled The Not-So-Great Commission, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Kelly Klagis details her journey from parachurch fellowships to confessional Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a Bible study called Witness, Mercy, Life Together. If you stop and think about the themes in Holy Scripture, Old and New Testament, that pertain to the life of the church, they do kind of come down to this: witness, mercy, and life together. It's a good way to think about our life together as the church, the body of Christ. That's why our Issues Etc. Book of the Month, and it's also a DVD, by the way, is this Bible study. The DVD is a four-part teaching from Pastor Matt Harrison, who's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They come together. You can find both at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November: Witness, Mercy, Life Together. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. 10 more minutes in our review, part two of our three-part review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. All right, Mike, before the break, from Kansas City, had two questions. First of all, are you surprised that Joel Osteen and Oprah would be teaming up?
I am a little bit, but I don't know why. I mean, because when I think about it, I mean, Oprah is just kind of this mush, this spiritual mush, and so is Joel. Oprah is New Agey, and so is Joel. Oprah is all about self-esteem and not being a victim, but having a victorious life, and so is Joel. Oprah never mentions Jesus, and neither does Joel. So I guess, there's nothing to be surprised about. It'll be interesting to see what their collaborative efforts end up with.
Now, Mike also asks whether or not there's a connection, and I think there is, between what Joel is asserting in Every Day of Friday about human potential, your potential, and kind of its little sister decision theology.
Yeah, they come from the same place, which is the false doctrine that there's still something alive about your will or your soul. There's still something living in there. And so if you're going to have salvation or life or something like this, then now you're going to find it on the inside. It's what we call enthusiasm. So Luther, this is, I think, perhaps in my mind, the most brilliant theological insight outside of the scriptures is where Luther, writing in Small Calls, says that every heresy, every false teaching has its root in enthusiasm. The devil leading us away from God's word, external word, to some sort of word on the inside of us, some sort of divine word on the inside. So now in decision theology, you have the ability and you have both the necessity and the ability to make a decision for Jesus. In Joel's theology, you have both the necessity and the ability to invite goodness into your life. So it is the same. It all comes back to that ability that you have on the inside, and that's right. It's just terrible. But you see, our sinful flesh has to have it. Our sinful flesh clings with for our sinful flesh to die is to acknowledge that it does not have power or goodness. That is the death of the old Adam. And so if our old man is going to survive, it has to constantly be fighting to convince you that it has some life in it, that it has some goodness in it. It can't just let itself be crucified and died and buried. It can't let go. It'll fight you, and it'll fight each one of us until the Lord finally gives us the victory of our deaths. And so every error is going to be, in one way or another, a manifestation of the fighting of our sinful flesh to cling to some sort of goodness or life that it has.
At one point in the book, Joel writes about Mary, the mother of our Lord, going to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, to kind of inspire her or something like this. I want your reaction to this from Joel Osteen's book, Every Day of Friday, about how God's promise is in us.
I believe God sent me today to be one of your Marys. God is saying it will come to pass. The promise is in you. It's alive and well. You may not see anything happening. You may feel that you didn't hear God correctly, but God is still on the throne. Right now, He's arranging things in your favor. What He promised, He will bring to pass. If you will receive those words by faith, you'll feel something down in your spirit. A kick, a push, a shove. What is that? That's your promise coming alive. Friends, you are a child of the Most High God. You have seeds of greatness on the inside. There is no mistake you've made that's too large for the mercy of God. There's no obstacle too high, no sickness too great, and no dream too big. You and God are a majority.
What is he saying here?
This is a great quotation that just puts all of the false doctrine all kind of piled together in one big heap to consider. So the first thing is, of course, you got the seeds of greatness on the inside. You can't forget that. You got the seeds of greatness. But the problem is those seeds are sleeping. And Joel talked about how Elizabeth didn't know. The reason why she was so happy when Mary came to visit and John the Baptist leapt in her womb is because John the Baptist had never moved. So she thought maybe she's carrying a child that had died in the womb. And then Mary comes and greets her, and now it leaps in the womb. So so we're the same way. We got a promise on the inside, but that promise has to be woken up. The promise has to be stirred up. And how does that happen? Through a word. And who's going to speak that word? Well, anybody can, but Joel's going to do it today. He's going to speak that word. He's our Mary, and it's going to waken up that promise that's on the inside. Now I got to overcome all my doubts and all my insecurities and all the negative things that people have told me all my life about how I'm no good wretch and all this sort of stuff, so that promise can come to life and it can come to bear in my life. The seeds of greatness are now going to be externalized when God pours upon me victory and promotion and increase, his favor, which is manifest in my health and in my success. That's the basic thrust of the things that Joel is saying. And if you're listening to that and you say to yourself, now that doesn't sound an awful lot like the biblical gospel, you're right. Because the Bible talks a completely different way. I mean, the Bible, when the Lord's Word comes to us, it first comes as law, which convicts us of our sin, and then as gospel, which gives us comfort and peace and hope, not because we find something on the inside, but because we hear something on the outside. I mean, something completely objective, something immovable. I mean, our salvation is not as sure as the voice and the seed of greatness on the inside of us, Todd. Our salvation is as sure as the death of Jesus on the cross. And we can undo the love of God just as well as we could go back in time and peel Jesus' body off of the cross and bring it back to life. We just can't do it. That's how sure and certain God's love is. But Joel sends us looking for love in all of the wrong places, the worst place of all, in fact, which is in our heart and soul. When we look there, who knows if God loves us or hates us? We only know when God loves us, when we see Jesus dying on the cross for us.
All right, let's round off this part of our review of Joel Osteen's book, Every Day of Friday, with Joel's declaration.
If you've struggled with discouragement, depression, with heaviness, I declare right now, in the name of Jesus, that spirit of discouragement is broken in your life. I declare the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of depression is broken off of you, your family, your future. It will no longer have any effect on you. I believe this and declare it in Jesus' name.
All right, about 30 seconds to respond to that, because I got one last question for you.
Yeah, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. I mean, that's a promise we can believe in. Forget what Joel declares about how we're not going to have trouble. Forget it. Jesus gives us a promise, and he knows better than Joel, that in this life we will have tribulation and trouble. But we, according to the word of our Lord Jesus, can be of good cheer because he, Jesus, overcame the world, not me. I'm not the one overcoming. I'm not the one being victorious, and I'm not even worried about that, because for me, Jesus died, and for me, Jesus rose, and for me, Jesus ascended into heaven, and for me, Jesus now is my advocate into the Father's ear, testifying to the Father of my forgiveness and my own righteousness. And Jesus is the one who sent the Holy Spirit to tell me that I'm holy and righteous. That is the thing, the declaration that we need to listen to, the declaration of Jesus that I'm righteous and holy.
All right, we're going to wrap up our review of Every Day of Friday next time by Joel Osteen, listening to some excerpts and talking to you about rightly ordered desires. With only 30 seconds, tell us about Monday's interview.
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, every error, I think, is an unpaid debt. So I think Joel, the reason why Joel can get away with this stuff is because the church hasn't talked rightly about this. So I'd like to offer an alternative. What should we think about happiness? And what does God's Word say about how our desires and our emotions are to be ordered? I'd like to talk about that a bit, and so alter an alternative to Joel's book, if we could.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. Looking forward to next week's conclusion to our review.
Me too, Todd. We'll finally be done.
When Joel makes these promises and these declarations, he's doing it, you must understand, solely based upon his belief that he's got the power to do it. And make no mistake about it, he believes that he has divine power to do this. That's what he means when he's talking about these seeds of greatness. He's really repeating a very old error that the church struggled with in its very first centuries, Gnosticism, which taught that you had a spark of the divine within you, and that it was your job to stir up this spark of the divine, and then you could act in divine ways. Well, that's not the gospel. The gospel is the fullness of the deity dwells bodily in Jesus Christ, and he gave his life for you at the cross and rose again. That's your only hope. Nothing in you, everything on him. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.